Hey there, Inklings, and welcome back to Catawampus Readings, the podcast where beginnings and introductions are welcomed in as guests so we can invade their brains and read into every thought and action. Wow, that sounds creepy. Last week, I promised we'd be digging into the differences between the movie and the book versions of this introduction, which is usually something I try to avoid. In this case, though, I think it's important, not because I'm a fangirl that wants to rant about how the book is just so much better, you guys, but rather because this introduction varies a lot with its emphasis on different characters and different character qualities. Before we dig in, I would definitely encourage you to take out a copy of The Fellowship of the Ring from your local library, or rent it through Google or Netflix. It's definitely a movie worth watching. But on top of that, I don't have the money or contacts to get permission to use audio clips from the movie in this podcast, so I'm going to be describing the differences rather than illustrating them. This will make so much more sense if the scene we're discussing is fresh in your mind. Okay, got all that? Excellent. Onward and upward, I say. When we left our intrepid heroes, they had just got their first glimpse of Karas Galathon, the city of Celeborn and Galadriel. A few paragraphs later, they get to meet the Lord and Lady of Lothlorien in person. In the movie, we're actually introduced to Galadriel, well, sort of, much earlier, before we even meet Haldir at the northern border of the wood. She speaks into Frodo's mind, saying, "Frodo, your coming to us is as the footsteps of doom. You bring great evil here, ring bearer." If you're curious about where that all happens, it's at 2 hours and 29 minutes and change in the extended edition. Yes, I have the extended edition, don't judge me. After some shenanigans in which Aragorn convinces the elves to let them meet the Lord and Lady face to face, we get to the scene that we're concerned with. But hold the phone a bit. Why introduce Galadriel so much sooner in the movie? Why have her speak audibly into Frodo's mind so the audience can hear it? Keep that in mind as we move forward. Celeborn and Galadriel descend the stairs in a haze of brilliant white light, and we're treated to shots of all the Fellowship either gaping at them or looking away. Obviously, it's very moving to watch two elves walk down the stairs while holding hands. Celeborn breaks the silence with words of doom, telling them how the enemy knows they're here, and wait a second, one of you is missing. So Celeborn's lines here serve only to highlight how bad their situation is. After that, Galadriel does all the talking. She comforts each of the Fellowship in turn, but while she's speaking out loud, she's also speaking into Frodo's mind again, which effectively prevents us from hearing what she has to say to anyone else. Her rapport with Frodo is the central point on which this scene, and the scenes around it, are turning. For these scenes, at least, Galadriel is taking the position of our primary-secondary character. And that seems weird, primary-secondary, but I mean it literally, because she's trumping our more familiar first-string characters like Sam and Pippin, who are also secondary characters. This emphasis on her relationship with Frodo is another of those narrative shortcuts we talked about a couple weeks ago. If she is this important in comparison to the characters we already know and love, then she must be someone worth investing in. Movies will use shortcuts like this much more often than books will, owing to the time constraints placed on movies. When you only have an hour and a half to 3 hours with your audience, then you want to convey as much information as you can as concisely as possible. With books, on the other hand, we have a bit more time to connect with the audience, which, on average, will spend at least 6 hours with your book. It takes me much longer because I'm a slow reader, but this is part of why things advance a little more gradually. Here's what I mean. The chamber was filled with soft light. Its walls were green and silver, and its roof of gold. Many elves were seated there. On two chairs beneath the bole of the tree, and canopied by a living bough, there sat, side by side, Celeborn and Galadriel. They stood up to greet their guests, after the manner of elves, even those who were accounted mighty kings. Very tall they were, and the lady no less than the lord, and they were grave and beautiful. They were clad wholly in white, and the hair of the lady was of deep gold, and the hair of the Lord Celeborn was of silver, long and bright. But there was no sign of age upon them, unless it were in the depths of their eyes, for these were keen as lances in the starlight, and yet profound, the wells of deep memory. Haldir led Frodo before them, and the Lord welcomed him in his own tongue. The Lady Galadriel said no word, but looked long upon his face. "Sit now beside my chair, Frodo of the Shire," said Celeborn. "When all have come, we will speak together." Each of the companions he greeted courteously by name as they entered. "Welcome, Aragorn, son of Arathorn," he said. "It is 38 years of the world outside since you came to this land, and those years lie heavily on you. But the end is near, for good or ill. Here, lay aside your burden for a while. Welcome, son of Thranduil. Too seldom do my kindred journey hither from the north. Welcome, Gimli, son of Glóin. It is long indeed since we saw one of Durin's folk in Carras Galadhon, but today we have broken our long law. May it be a sign that though the world is now dark, better days are at hand, and that friendship shall be renewed between our peoples." And Gimli bowed low. You'll notice there's a huge emphasis here on courtesy and hospitality, on Celeborn's effort to set them at ease, and on the inhuman qualities of the elves. They are being set up as other and as better, but they're not being emphasized as important or connected to the group. This, I think, was part of what made the movie feel so different from the book, not only in the details that were left out or added, but in the themes for each scene. Also, I think it's pretty clear that Galadriel isn't speaking. She's not the main character here. Celeborn is. Now, some might say that this was 1950s sexism, but I think that it's more along the lines of differentiating the roles between the two elven rulers. Celeborn is the lord of this place and is its leader in physical and political matters. Galadriel's role is presented later on in this exchange. "Alas," said Celeborn, "we long have feared that under Carathras a terror slept, but had I known the dwarves had stirred up this evil in Moria again, I would have forbidden you to pass the northern borders, you and all that went with you. And if it were possible, one would say that at the last Gandalf fell from wisdom into folly, going needlessly into the net of Moria." "He would be rash indeed that said such a thing," said Galadriel gravely. "Needless were none of the deeds of Gandalf in life. Those that followed him knew not his mind and cannot report his full purpose. But however it may be with the guide, the followers are blameless. Do not repent of your welcome to the dwarf. If our folk had been exiled long and far from Lothlórien, who of the Galadhrim, even Celeborn the Wise, would pass nigh and not wish to look upon their ancient home, though it had become the abode of dragons? Dark is the water of Kenadzaran, and cold are the springs of Kibil Nala, and fair are the many-pillared halls of Khazad-dûm in the elder days, before the fall of mighty kings beneath the stone." She looked upon Gimli, who sat glowering and sad, and she smiled. And the dwarf, hearing the names given in his own ancient tongue, looked up and met her eyes, and it seemed to him that he looked suddenly into the heart of an enemy and saw their love and understanding. Wonder came into his face, and then he smiled in answer. He rose clumsily and bowed in dwarf fashion, saying,
"Yet more fair is the living land of Lórien, and the Lady Galadriel is above all jewels that lie beneath the earth."
Here we can see that Galadriel is much more than just an ornament. She's a sort of social and emotional guide, both for her husband and for her guests. She's both soothing the paranoia and anger of harsh words, and supporting those who are in pain. Grief is a thing that can be experienced both on a personal and an ethnic level, and Galadriel touches on that here, which is a huge step toward mending the gap between Gimli and his hosts. I really like this presentation of Galadriel and the rapport she builds with the group, and especially with Gimli, rather than focusing entirely on her relationship with Frodo and the Ring. But this, I think, is an example of how different media are best for different kinds of stories. That doesn't make one media or one kind of story better than the other, it just means that they're good at different things. That's all I have for you this week. Next week, we'll get back to our regularly programmed selection of random books that I find at the library. The question of the day is, if you have the choice between taking a longer drive on a familiar road or a shorter drive on an unfamiliar one, which one would you choose? Until next week, stay awesome, my Inklings. And here's some homework for you. Find a movie you love and see if there's a book it was based on. Does the book tell the same story as the one you liked in the movie? This has been your host, Inkfire, and you have been a most marvelous audience. I'll see you on the other side. Thank you for listening to Catawampus Readings. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you're interested in supporting Catawampus Readings and would like early access to new episodes, you can sign up to donate monthly at patreon.com/inkfire. Special thanks to our patrons, Corvus, Valkyrie, and Barry Marie.